some people are like, I told my partner to initiate. I told him to throw me up on the counter and he never does. What happened? And typically it's because they're like, I didn't think about it. I didn't know how to throw you on the counter. I didn't have an erection. So I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just a little bit more to it. But once he gets the new habit going, you'll be all over the counter, the kitchen table. Who knows?
Okay.
In the car. You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. Sex is inherently vulnerable, which is partly why it's so hot. But how do you take the extremely vulnerable, even awkward, step of telling a partner something sensitive? Maybe their breath is bad, or maybe you're bored with the sex itself, or maybe you're afraid to tell a partner you've fallen in love with them. On today's episode, I'm helping listeners find the right words for these sensitive moments. What happens when you don't feel anything during penetration? Or your partner's afraid to tell you they have a small penis? How about when you're into something kinky, tried it out virtually, and got caught? And finally, when you disagree on what makes good sex? Is that a deal breaker? All this and more on today's Sexual Feedback Show. Intentions with Emily. For each episode, I want to start off by setting an intention for the show, and I encourage you to do the same. My intention is to help you feel more confident communicating about your sex life, even when it's a little scary. In the end, most partners will appreciate your honesty. The trick is to be thoughtful, kind, and forthright so that you don't feel resentful, but instead collaborative and proactive. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. My new articles, The 7 Secrets to Making Out and How to Have the Sexiest Spring Ever, are up at sexwithemily.com. Check out my YouTube channel, social media, and TikTok. It's all at Sex with Emily for more sex tips and advice. And if you want to ask me questions, leave me your questions or message me at sexwithemily.com/askemily or call my hotline. 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739. Just leave your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show, and it's totally cool to change your name or choose to remain anonymous. But before we end today's show, I want to tell you about something very exciting. If you haven't heard the news, I am coming out with a book, and I am so excited to share it all with you. It comes out June 13th. It's called Smart Sex, How to Boost Your Sex IQ and Own Your Pleasure. It's all about a new paradigm that's going to help you have better sex, and that is the 5 pillars of sexual intelligence. I hope you'll pre-order the book right now at sexwithemily.com. All you have to do is go to the drop-down menu, select new book. It'll be easy from there. I'll also put it in the show notes. But just so you know, I've learned a lot about this process, and pre-ordering a book just really helps get the book into more hands, have more people having healthy sex. And so I would love if you would do that right now if you know you're going to buy it. I so appreciate you. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. All right, let's talk to Michael, 45, in Indiana. Hi, Michael. Thanks for calling.
My question for you is just wanted to get your views on online chat line and what you thought about those.
Tell me more about them, Michael. I don't know about them right now. Like, explain to me your experience.
Well, I get on them and I see guys and girls and we masturbate together. And the other day my wife walked in on me and she was very upset, and now she's just really mad, and I just don't see anything wrong, but
Michael,
you know, what are your thoughts?
All right, good question, Michael. The specifics don't really matter here. It's more about, like, your relationship with your wife. Does she know that you masturbate?
Now she does.
But before this, before she walked in?
Probably not.
Okay. So what's your sex life like?
Well, probably could always be better.
Yeah,
I mean, it's okay, but...
Mm-hmm. Everyone gets to decide what works for them. Some people are really into the cam girls. Some people are, you know, I believe that, like, masturbation is part of a healthy relationship, a healthy sexual relationship. People masturbate in relationships. I know it's important for men and for women. If she walked in and you masturbating, I think you'd have to just have some talks with her and let her know you still love her. And people have to learn this. They have to have these conversations with people. But I think the fact that she walked in and then it was like the first time she saw you masturbating and then there was other women there masturbating with you and it's like an exchange and it wasn't like a one-way thing, but they see you back and, you know, that it was a more intimate is really troubling for your wife. And so what I think is that this is a really wonderful opportunity for you to have some really healthy conversations with your wife about your sex life. I'm assuming you guys have been together a while, huh, Michael?
Yes.
And have you ever talked about your sex life with her before? Like what you guys are into or how frequently you have sex or what turns you on?
Well, some of it, but certainly not about this.
No, right. I understand why your wife is going to have a problem with it. To answer your direct question, my take on it is like, I can see why that might feel more like a violation, but if it's working for you and your wife was okay with it, I wouldn't have a problem with it if she didn't have a problem with it. Because it's like you're having this like level of intimacy with someone. It's not just like she walked in on you watching porn, but it's intimate, right? They're seeing you and you're seeing them. And that can feel like cheating because it's intimate. See what I'm saying? Right? Don't they see you and you see them?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like an emotional, you know, like the emotional affair and you're, but it's like, you know, these people are seeing you naked. So I think that there's a lot of unpacking to do here because first we got to get back the layers of, like you said, our sex life could always be better. And I'm going to agree with you because I think that 99.9% of people's sex life could be better and they could talk about it more, especially if you've been together for a while. So this is a good time to perhaps go see a therapist that could help you guys sort of tease this out. Is she super angry right now? What's happening?
Well, not much right now. She's just really, really upset.
Would you know what?
But my question is, like, do you think this is just bad or is it just normal?
I think masturbation is normal and healthy. But I think if your wife doesn't, A, doesn't think you masturbate, and B, walks in and she sees you in front of a computer, on your computer, on your laptop, on your phone, and you're looking at people and they're looking at you and there's a naked woman that you're live interacting with, that's disturbing. I believe that there's a lot. She didn't expect it. She didn't know it coming. She didn't even think you masturbated. She probably doesn't masturbate. So I'm not going to tell you anything wrong. I'm going to tell you that this could be a great opportunity to have some really healthy conversations with your wife. It could take you guys to another level. Like, you know, she has to educate herself. You both do around touch and what feels good. And for many couples, you know, this wouldn't work for them. Like boundaries. Like I know there are couples who say, like, I don't want you watching, you know, having cam girls. Or in a chat room, that feels like a violation, right? Like texting a friend is okay, your ex, but sexting your ex wouldn't be okay. Those kind of things. I think a therapist is going to be helpful. If you've been together a long time, this could just kind of explode into a huge fight.
It has.
Yeah, and I'm sorry this is happening, and it's time to have an important conversation with her about intimacy and connection and sex. And maybe you were, how long have you on these chat rooms?
Oh, a long time.
Okay. That's something that you're going to, you know, have to talk about with her. I mean, I don't want to know if it's a reaction to not having great sex with her. You obviously don't want to say that. But what I believe is that if you could work on your sex life with your wife and figure out a way, it's never too late, ever. Like, I think this could be the start of it where you decide, you know what? I didn't know how to talk to you about the things that I'm into. And sex is really important to me. And I would love it to be important to you. So a lot of couples, they listen to the show together. They go see a therapist. They go to a sex toy store and buy some books and some toys, and they think about expansion and they think about touch and they think about how we can enhance intimacy. They bring back kissing. They learn, take a massage class together. They do things that enhance their connection. And so, Michael, I think that I don't know where you guys are at now in your level of openness around this, but I think that that's where this could lead to if you do this correctly with her and figure out how to listen and communicate. Okay, Michael?
Okay, thank you.
Keep it posted. Thanks, Michael. Let's talk to Diane, 58, in Florida. How can I help you?
Hi, Emily. I'm calling because I had a bad experience the other night with my husband. And we've been married 31 years. You know, I'm 58. He's like 61. And we have a pretty active sex life. But what he apparently never knew, when we have intercourse and he's penetrating, I don't have any sensation. You know, orally, not a problem. It's wonderful. And it just came out of my mouth after all these years. I just finally said to him, you realize that I don't feel anything. And he just kind of just was taken aback. And he just was so upset about it. And he couldn't talk about it. And I said, well, we have to talk about this. He goes, I don't know if I could ever have sex with you again now. And so he's hurt. He said he's embarrassed. He's humiliated. And I try to explain to him, this has nothing to do with your lovemaking. You're amazing. It's just that I don't have a sensation. So maybe you should feel a little bit sad about me not having a sensation.
Oh, right.
I said, but there's nothing wrong with you. I mean, you've given me all your love. Like you've never not. I said, so I'm just kind of just letting you know, I feel penetration, but I don't feel sensation.
Hmm.
And so then for like the next day and a half, he just was sad.
Yeah.
And I said, do you want to talk about it? Because I don't think I can talk about it. I said, well, do you want to have intercourse? Do you want to make love? He's like, I don't think I can.
Yeah.
So I'm at a point where he's gone away for a couple of days, and I know it's bothering him, and it's bothering me too.
Yeah.
But I've been listening to some of the things you've been saying, and maybe it's we need to introduce other
absolutely,
sex toys or something
Diane.
Else.
Absolutely. So first off, so you've never had sensation from intercourse in your life?
No, that's not true. There's sometimes that I could. I have orgasm. We've had intercourse, but what happens a lot of times is he will, you know, he'll climax and he'll like roll over and fall asleep.
Ugh.
And doesn't ask me. He's never asked me. I go, have you ever asked me if I've orgasmed? Have you ever noticed if I go, because it's different when you stimulate me orally. There's no question. There's never a question. I said, but you've never asked me after we've made love.
Ever.
I said, you just roll over. And I said, so I've kind of just come accustomed to it.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I just felt like just finally saying it.
Yeah, of course. Well, yeah, but
I didn't mean to hurt him.
Of course not. But how many years did you say you've been together?
31.
31. Okay, so.
And there's been ups and downs throughout that.
Of course.
And I get that.
And I get why you said it, but in the bedroom, in the moment, and he's like, what? Like, that's big news. But I do think this can be a place for repair. Because honestly, if the chef never asks how the meal is, right? The chef cooks you every night and they're never like, hey, how'd you like the steak? You're not going to be like, it sucked. Like, you know what I'm saying? So you just assume it's okay. He never asked. So in a way, but I see why that's hurt. Because for men, if they feel they're not being a great lovers and they're not, they just assume. So many men just assume it feels just as good for them as it feels for you. Because why wouldn't it? It felt great. I like the steak. Why don't you like the steak? I made the steak. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing. Sex was good for me. Why isn't it good for you? So I understand all of this and why it's confusing for him. So I think that you can kind of, when he's ready, have him come back and like talk to him about like, I think this is, you can let him know like the nuance of it. Like, I think that the great part would be to talk with like the compliments, like all your best memories of your lovemaking over 31 years. You love that he's so tender when he goes down on you, how you do have orgasms, and that it's not only been this way forever, Diane, because you're 58. So for many women, you know, as we get older, there's like a loss of estrogen, the linings of the vagina starts to thin. So sex doesn't feel as good internally. So you might have just said it because maybe you were feeling a little resentment, a little frustration that your pleasure hasn't come up. Because those nights where he just three pumps and rolls over and falls asleep and didn't go down on you, like, what'd you get from that? So that gets frustrating. So there's a lot to unpack here, right, Diane? I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm someone, too, who didn't have a lot of orgasms from intercourse, didn't understand it. And you're not alone in this way, but most people don't know how to, like, you know, he never heard that before. So I think that you could just say, you need to say, I'm really sorry, you know, take responsibility for how you brought it up and that it must have been a shock. But these are all the things you love. And what you've learned is by listening to this show or by talking to friends or whatever you want to say is there are ways you can have more sensation. Like perhaps he always goes down on you or you use a toy, use a vibrator. Like there's things you can do,
okay.
But many women, and you know if you've been listening, Diane, that only 20% of women have orgasms during intercourse. And I would argue that many of those women would say the same thing. Like it feels good, but it's not like it feels like amazing. It just feels like they're not having an orgasm. So I think it was really just about your tone and the timing, which is what I always say, like tone, timing, and turf is when you want to have the best time to have those conversations.
This is from Alicia. Hey, Dr. Emily, my boyfriend and I have been together for 2 years and he's great. Our foundation is strong and we're so compatible. However, there's one problem, one of which I entered the relationship knowing he has bad breath. I've tried mouthwashes, politely asking him to brush his teeth, gum, mints, etc. I haven't flat out told him that his breath is bad because I don't want to hurt his feelings or have him be self-conscious, but it's getting close to me just having to be softly blunt. He needs to go to the dentist, but he has a huge fear and he knows he will need a lot of work and we aren't exactly rolling in cash over here. We also don't have dental insurance. Any suggestions on how to politely tell him his breath is hurting us sexually? Love your podcast. All right. This is a really great question, Alicia. And I have to say you are not alone. A lot of people struggle with talking to their partners about a lot of hygiene challenges, not just bad breath. First, think about this. When one of our body parts smells bad or has an odor, there's usually something else going on. It's usually an indicator of greater health issues. Like, I often get questions about people what to do when their vulva-owning partners have a funky smell down there. Well, usually it's because of something like bacterial vaginosis, which a lot of times we can't even smell it ourselves. And I often tell people, like, you got to talk to your partner about it because you can just let them know that you're worried about their health. So in this case, your partner's bad breath is likely an indicator of larger oral hygiene issues. But I know that a lot of us kind of diminish the importance of flossing and brushing our teeth. But I can tell you, as someone who was warned for many years, and I should have gotten a mouth guard, I should have flossed more. It is true that there are problems that can happen when you don't take care of it. Now, you also said that it's impacting your sex life. So for all of these reasons, it's really important to have a talk with him, because our oral health has so many implications in our overall health. Now, first, let's start with this. You mentioned that he has a fear of going to the dentist. Well, you could just say, well, tell me more about that. Did something happen before? When he was younger, did he have a bad experience with a dentist? Could he talk to someone about this, like a therapist? Someone could help him work through these fears. So how you have this kind of conversation about awkward things is, you could remember my Timing, Tone, and Turf. We have a guide on our website you can download that explains all this for you. But you really want to approach this conversation always from love and from care, and just let your partner know, I care so much about you. I love you. And I really want you to be as healthy as you can be. And you can let them know that they have bad breath, that their breath has an odor that you've noticed for a while now. And you can say, as you can imagine, it's really hard to talk to you about this because I don't want to hurt your feelings and I don't want to upset you, but I've done more research and it turns out it could be part of a bigger issue. And so I think it's really important that we kind of work together on how you can get over the fear of dentists and fear of going to the dentist, and how it's something really important that you need to work on. And you have to let him know it's not an insult. You just care about him and you want him to be happy and healthy. And the fact that it's gotten to this place of really bad breath, he needs to know, as his partner and someone you love. Something you could do is, which is what I do with my partner, you know, we have, like, listen, the oral hygiene practice at night is like another friggin' thing to do, right? Like, you gotta wash your face, take your makeup off, and then you gotta brush your teeth, and you gotta floss and use mouthwash and all of these things. So I've actually brought this in with my partner. We have, like, I got him an electric toothbrush because it is important to brush your teeth for 2 minutes in the morning and 2 minutes at night. They have the ones that have the little beep. So we actually do it together. I know, right? Cute. And then we floss our teeth. And I'm obsessed with Smart Mouth. I don't know what it is about this mouthwash. There's just like something very different about it. It's parts of my daily ritual. I use it twice a day. And Smart Mouth does eliminate and prevent bad breath for 24 hours with just 2 rinses a day. It has this 2 streams of liquid, which just for some reason in my head makes it seem like way more powerful. But I think it actually is, because it works and it tastes really good. And you can actually buy Smart Mouth in the oral care aisle anywhere you buy mouthwash or on Amazon. I'll also put the link in my show notes. So anyway, you could make this a ritual with him until he gets to the dentist. Say, okay, babe, let's do this together. And in fact, it'll help you. Like, now my partner is all about flossing. So the nights I don't want to floss, I'm like, here we are flossing. I'm just telling everybody listening that I know flossing is a pain. It took me way too long to get into the habit. But now that I am, it's the one that I stick with. And Alicia, finally, listen. If you let your partner know that his bad breath is affecting your desire for sex or ability to be aroused, I mean, listen, I think he's really going to want to take action, because tackling bad breath and dealing with his greater fear here is such an important conversation to have. But also, it's going to make it a lot easier to have other conversations in the relationship, because I know we're all afraid to have these conversations because we're so afraid we're going to upset our partners. But listen, when it comes to health and wellness, and it comes to overall happy life, and it comes to affecting your sex life, you got to have these conversations now. So hopefully he's able to get over his fear, go see a dentist, and I'm sure this will definitely enhance your intimacy in the long run. Don't go anywhere, because after the break, I'm helping listeners with more difficult conversations, including what to do when you think your partner has a micropenis. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack.
Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. This is from Jordan, 31 in California. Hey, Dr. Emily, I need your advice on something that's been eating at me for months now. How do I tell my boyfriend that he has a small penis? My boyfriend and I have been dating for over a year now. And when we started dating and would hook up, he would always stop before having sex and told me that he couldn't because he had really bad eczema on his sex parts, which I believe because he does have eczema all over other parts of his body. On top of that, he was pleasing me sexually in other ways and doing great at it. Fast forward to over a year later and we finally had penetrative sex. And I realized he has a really small penis. And when I say small, I Googled what a micropenis was afterwards. I'm torn because I feel like he lied about his skin condition or used it as a way to get out of sex, just long enough for me to fall in love with him. So I struggle with breaking up with him for this. But part of me also wonders if his story is legit, and if it is true, is he oblivious to how small it is? No matter which direction this goes, I just don't know how to bring this up since it's a very sensitive subject. I mean, how do you tell a man he has a small penis? And just to iterate, it's not that I'm not being satisfied in the relationship. He's a great boyfriend and is amazing in bed. I have so many questions. Please help. All right, Jordan, great question. Let's get into it. Now, as I've said before, and this is a great time to say it again, most orgasms that vulva owners are going to have are not going to have anything to do with a penis. Sorry, guys. It's true. Usually comes from fingers, toys, or oral stimulation. And it sounds like he is pleasing you in those departments. You said he's been an amazing lover. And I understand that you might feel like your trust has been broken. Now, the only way to know for sure and to ease your mind is to have an open and honest and curious conversation about it. You can use my timing, turf, and tone recommendations about finding the right place, the right, you know, location, the right tone to talk to him about it. And you could just say to him, let's talk about our sex life. Now that we've had sex, how's your eczema doing? Has that been painful? Has it been okay? I know we waited so long. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about? How was it for you? What could I do to be a better lover for you? Listen, this might be your time to talk to him as well. But if you ask him these questions and he doesn't bring up penis size, which listen, maybe he will. Maybe if you open it up, he'll say, listen, I know my penis is really small. That could happen. But you have to create, if this is someone you're going to be with and you are with, it's important just to create an atmosphere where anything goes. And sometimes these first conversations about sex don't necessarily have to be with an agenda. It's just like, are we cool? Do we both want to be in a relationship where we talk about sex? You know, but he might not bring it up because he's shame around, or maybe he doesn't have a problem with it. Although if it really is a micropenis, he might be conscious of it. But let me remind you, the average erect penis in the United States is 5 1/4 inches, which is not what you've seen in porn. And again, if he's pleasing you in all the other ways, maybe it's okay. I'm not going to tell anyone to break up with someone over their penis size. And it sounds like you really do love him in all the other areas. And again, there are people like, I love the feeling of being filled up.
I just miss that. I want a penis inside of me. It's really hot. I don't care if it makes me orgasm. And that's also valid, right? It's just like there are people who prefer being with someone with large breasts, right? And then if you're with someone with small breasts, it's not going to do it for you. You like a certain kind of ass, so you lurk a certain height, right? We all have our preferences, and none of those are invalid. In fact, we all get to be attracted to what we're attracted to. But let's say you do the conversation. If he doesn't bring it up, I would not assume he was being deceitful or really that his penis size is any reason to break up. Now listen, if he wasn't pleasing you in other ways, he didn't want to talk about your pleasure, he didn't have a growth mindset around sex, he was being a jerk to you, that would be another conversation. But it does seem to me like he's being a great lover and a partner in all their ways. So I would just try to have a healthy conversation with him because listen, he might have things he wants to talk to you about as well. What I've found and what I highly recommend to you and to everybody is to have these difficult conversations with your partner. It could be about them not taking out the trash or their penis size, but all the things that you are avoiding talking about is keeping your relationship in the darkness and in a place of untruth, where you're literally in a relationship because you were holding back on something that I promise you, once you shed light on these things that leave you in the dark, give so much more clarity and hope to a relationship, and it brings you closer, it enhances intimacy. So I encourage you to have whatever hard conversation you're not having, to have it today, because you really never know where it's going to go and what you're going to learn from your partner. And I found these conversations always lead to greater intimacy, more knowledge, and hopefully a stronger commitment and relationship. Thanks for your email, Jordan. Let us know how it goes. Let's talk to Pat, 61 in Idaho. Hi, Pat. Thanks for calling.
I'm 61. My spouse is 63, and I'm just finding that he wants the same old position, and it almost feels like he's being lazy in bed, and I'm doing more of the work.
Okay.
And I want him to be a little more adventurous.
Of course.
And try different positions, you know, different places in the house, the kitchen counter.
Yeah. Whatever happened to the kitchen counter?
Suggestion.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, you know, but I can't get him to step outside that box to do it. How can I get him?
Great question, Pat.
There?
This is such a good question. How do you do it? Because you said it and you're like, I told you, kitchen counter. You walk past it every day. Why aren't you throwing me on the goddamn kitchen counter? But the deal is, Pat, is that we all get stuck in our ways, right? We get set in our ways. This is how we have sex. This is how we do it. So when the urge comes, he's just like, here's my same old, same old. So what I recommend, Pat, is for most couples, it's like you got to work on it together. So an example would be, you know how I told you some different positions? This is what I had in mind when you're not having sex, like when you're hanging out, watching Netflix, going on a walk, and just saying like, I know I've talked about it before, but this is what I think would be sexy, would be hot, and give him instructions, like pointed out specifics. And maybe you even have to show him. And I know that's annoying, but it's really hard to break out of our patterns and to learn new skills. And essentially a new position is a new skill at this point if you've been doing the same positions for years.
Well, and I feel like I'm in the prime of my sex and he's falling down.
Pat, you're amazing. 60. Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like the 60s is, this is what I've heard. Amazing. So is his desire down? How is his erections? Like, how is he down?
I pretty well have to get him hard. He doesn't normally get hard on his own.
Okay. Well, that happens.
So I think there might be a little ED going in there that he doesn't want to admit yet.
Yeah. I mean, 61, it would make sense. Is he healthy, though? Otherwise, does he, like, eat healthy? Does he exercise? Okay. Yeah, I would get him checked out.
No, he doesn't eat healthy.
He doesn't eat healthy. Okay. I would get his hormones checked.
TV dinner guy, but I'm going to change that in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, so. Please do, Pat, because I got to tell you that definitely with age, there could be a challenge with our erections, with our sex drive, with our hormones. However, eating healthy and exercising, it's all about blood flow. The blood is not flowing through his penis well enough for him to have an erection as strong. So he's got to start moving his body, eating healthy, and getting checked by his doctor. Because here's the thing, Pat, it's not just that he can't get it up. Your sexual relationship together, so he has to hold up his part of the bargain. Pun intended, I suppose, but you know what I mean? So he's got to do it. And I think also getting curious and showing him some positions that you like or doing some research and just saying, this is what I'm into, but getting him back on board with it. But you got to, you know, doing it together.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to run him off.
Right.
Right, exactly. No, but what I mean is like...
I don't want to be too aggressive.
No, but what I mean is some people are like, I told my partner to initiate. I told him to throw me up on the counter and he never does. What happened? And typically it's because they're like, I didn't think about it. I didn't know how to throw you on the counter. I didn't have an erection. So I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just a little bit more to it. But once he gets the new habit going, you'll be all over the counter, the kitchen table. Who knows?
Okay.
In the car. All right, Pat.
I'll be ready for that.
Okay, Pat. I'm here for you. Call me. Let me know how it goes. Let's talk to Will, 36, in California. Hi, Will.
Hi, Emily.
Hey, what's going on?
Well, I've been in a relationship for about 6 months now, and my feelings have gotten stronger for this woman. We tell each other that we like each other a lot, but I have a feeling that my feelings are growing into love, but I'm not exactly sure when it would be too soon or too late to let her know that. And normally I would say that that's the conversation I would have to have with her. But, you know, once you let that cat out of the bag, it's kind of hard to take it back if she's not feeling the same way. And that's what's got me kind of nervous.
How long have you been dating? You
said 6 months.
6 months.
6 months.
Okay. You're committed?
Yes, I'm committed and loyal to her. Yeah.
No, I mean, but you guys are mutually committed. Like it's a, and have you talked about, are you both 36?
She is 35.
Okay.
So right around the same age.
You have to be prepared that she might say, you know, thank you. That feels so good. You know, she might not be there yet. She might not love you yet. But she might really, really like you. I think we all like to hear it and it feels good. But if she's dating you and you've been committed for 6 months that, I don't know, you're in your 30s. Like, I can't imagine she'd be like, oh, now I'm out because you love me. Like, this isn't love. I just want to stay in like for the rest of, you know, for 3 years. I mean, I think all relationships have to grow. You know what I mean? If relationships don't grow, then they die. Like, they're truly, like, if you just keep liking, you know, so there has to be some movement in it. I mean, I've had that happen to me where I had someone say, I love you, and I didn't. And I think eventually I did. I don't remember in this particular scenario, but I know how I handled it. It was like, okay, I'm not there yet. And I think I just said, wow, thank you. That felt really good.
Yeah. And then in previous relationships that I've had, I've actually had stronger feelings for those women than I have for this woman. But it feels like more than like, but I'm not sure if it's quite love yet.
Oh, then let's not rush it.
I feel like maybe testing the water would be to let her know and just see how she reacts. But what would you say to that?
Well, okay, so now this is interesting, Will. So I feel like you're saying that you know that you've been in love before you were certain. But now you're not so certain. So it sounds like you're just trying to understand if you're both on the same page. But I don't think that by saying I love you is going to get you the confirmation and the security and the information that you need right now. So I wouldn't say it until you're certain that you say it. You know? I feel like you're using her... Yeah, you want to feel safe, so like you're using her as like a sounding board for your own. Like, I hope if I say I love you, then I'm going to find out where we're at. But maybe a different approach would be to say, "Hey, it's been 6 months. So, how are you feeling about our relationship? I'm having such a good time.
Right.
I love the time we're spending together. I really feel so close to you. You know, how are you feeling?" And she might say, you know, I think that we need to do this more often than not in relationships. I think we need to do it way sooner than we do. We're like, oh, I don't want to rock the boat, or I want to be the cool girl, and I don't want to talk about feelings. It's so much healthier to say, like, well, let's check in. I mean, 6 months is a significant amount of time to be with someone. So you deserve to know where you both stand. And it sounds like perhaps you're actually having some doubt about it because you just said that you have felt more intensely for other people.
I just know that I more than like her. I'm just not sure if I'm at that love point yet. And I'm kind of nervous that she might be at that same point. And I don't think it'll exactly ruin the relationship. I think it is probably better to just put it out there and, you know, make sure that we know what we're feeling and then figure out what kind of label to put to it.
Absolutely. You don't have to say anything. I think just you have to open up a conversation because it sounds to me like that's what you really want to do right now. You just want to have an open conversation about where you guys stand. Check in. She probably wants to as well. I guarantee you she wants to know as well. She wants to figure this out. But you're saying that you think that she has more feelings than you do? You think?
I think so, yes. She had some pretty bad relationships before me, some pretty long-term ones, and she says that it's the best relationship she's ever been in. So I feel like she's kind of hinting towards the love word, but, you know, I've been in different relationships where I thought it was the one, and then it ended, and I was like, okay, well, now that's a bummer. I've lost the love that I had, and now I have to go find that with someone else. And, you know, I'm just trying to make sure that I'm on the time frame, and I'm not trying to rush things too quickly.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys have a lot to talk about. I would say everything you just told me. I would be really honest about it. I mean, this is the thing. We think we can't say, you know, often where we have progress in relationships, where we move the needles and we say the things that we think we can't say. And you know enough about each other's history, and you can kind of clear it out. Have it. You have nothing to lose here, everything to gain to get clarity. Because you're making assumptions now that she's been in all these bad relationships, and she says things like, oh, I haven't felt this way before. And then you're like, oh, God, that either makes me feel really good or really scared. So it sounds like you have some stuff to work out as well. And in these times when you have to be super vulnerable with somebody, that's where the magic happens. That's where you really get into, like, you maybe you'll have this conversation and it'll surprise you. Like, oh, wow, we both feel the same. Or I feel so much closer to her now because we were able to have a really hard conversation, you know, about true feelings without playing games and without going, you know, around and around in circles.
You're right, because if we don't feel the same way, then we're kind of wasting time in this relationship, or exactly. We can catch up to where each other are at, and really nothing to lose.
Nothing
to lose.
Thank
you so much
here.
For that advice, Emily.
Of course.
I appreciate
it. You're so welcome. You're so welcome, Will. Let me know how it goes. I'm here to help.
All right, I will.
Okay, bye, Will. Keep me posted. Yeah,
thank you.
Aw, sweet. So hard to know. It's so scary to put ourselves out there. In love and relationships, we're all so afraid of being hurt. And I think, you know, he says, you know, he's dating this woman who's been hurt. We've all, I think by the time you're in your 30s, you've been hurt or you've had relationships not go your way. Someone didn't return the feelings that you had for them. Or you had to let someone down that you don't feel the same way they do. And then you just learn. I hope that you learn that it's like there's... that life is very short. Life is definitely too short to spend time in relationships where you're not getting your needs met and you're not both on the same page. So how great to have it. As soon as you think you should have the conversation, you should have it. Because then, while it might suck if somebody doesn't feel the same way you do, they're setting you free. So you can actually find what you do want. That's it for today's episode. See you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.